Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio program. Today's August 11, 2018. We're here live for the next 2 hours, and we've got an action-packed show like we always do, and I can't wait to get it going here. But before we get it going, before I get my day started, you know me, I always go to CEFCO here at Hilltop, get my fresh cup of premium Joe. And if you haven't heard it, you need to go to my Facebook page, aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page there, and you'll get to see and hear my jingle for CEFCO. So spread the word, everybody. Please go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page, check out the video of me with the jingle, and like it, share it, tell everybody you know, and who knows, maybe my jingle will be the new CEFCO jingle, okay? They've got twofers, you know, you get two Tostito rolls or whatever varieties they got for $2 and all sorts of other things there. Becky's great. She's got a door hopping over there, so go there, say hi, pick up your paper, your smokes, whatever it takes to get you going at CEFCO Hilltop here in Cameron. We're simulcasting today like we always do here on KMIL 105.1 FM and at Rockdale at KRXT 98.5 FM. So give us a call here at the station, 254-697-6633 if you want to be part of the show, if you have a comment or a question. All complaints go to Trey. Isn't that right, Trey? I caught you.
Yeah, I waited until I take a drink to ask me that question.
All right. Also, you can contact us here, like I said, at the station, 697-6633, or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. Just go to aaronsgunshop.com and you can access to all of that. Now, we have an action-packed show, like I said. Here are my show highlights. Let's start off with that right now. Today, three true stories of self-defense from the Concealed Carry magazine. As always, let's learn what to do and what not to do from the experiences of others. And man, we can learn a lot by listening to these stories. My License to Carry Attorney segment, sponsored by Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, will cover tampering with evidence, both physical and digital, and how it can get you in a lot of trouble. Attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, he'll be in. He'll be breaking it down for us. And hello again to Rick Dodd. He was out of town for a while. He's back in, so I'm going to try and get him on next week. And stay tuned for that. This week's Tactical Snacking segment with the delicious Janae Goodman, we'll go over money time saving meal prep. Things you can prep ahead of time for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So that should be pretty interesting because I know a lot of people are always checking the clock, racing out the door. At 11 o'clock this morning, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the connoisseur of common sense, the duke of decency, the pontificator of practicality, and all-around good guy, Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. And this week's product spotlight is the Hungarian PA-63 and 9x18 Makarov. Sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, you got to get one of these for your collection or for carrying concealed carry. If you go to Aaron's Gun Shop Facebook page, I just made a quick short video of it. You get to see what it looks like, and I'll be describing it about 11:20. That's when the product spotlight happens, and I'll give you some details on it. I love the gun, had it for a long time, extremely accurate, and I'll talk about it in a little bit. Special guest will be our in-house spec operator, our very own Mark Boyer. He'll be in to discuss with me the prepping aspects of going back to school. You'll find this interesting. And Trey, I didn't tell you, but Master Cindy Key, something came up. She will not be able to join us today, so we're going to play a repeat. Thank goodness for me. Yeah. She cannot beat me up today. Oh, my gosh. Ross, you brought it. Fantastic. Something he has failed to bring me for the last month, I think it is. But great, we got an action-packed show. So we're going to start off with the stories of self-defense, and this is out of the Concealed Carry magazine. Three stories today, and the first one is as follows. And I'm going to do this on the fly with you, Trey. We're just going to commentary.
I'm here.
Texas man shoots robber wielding sawed-off shotgun. I'd like to see the shotgun, first of all. Okay, a Houston man was walking to his car at about 2 a.m. when he was accosted by a man pointing a sawed-off shotgun at him. The citizen quickly drew his legally carried pistol and shot the assailant, disabling him and stopping the crime. Police have declined charges against the defending citizen. My first reaction is,
he must not have practiced enough because the guy was disabled and not killed.
No. That guy's got some onions facing a sawed-off 12-gauge barreled shotgun, draws his pistol, and shoots the guy anyway. I'll cut him some slack for not taking him down, but that's my reaction. That's a person who's either hasn't thought about the possibilities of the danger or knows the possibilities of the danger and has trained and is not going to become a victim.
Well, the other appropriate response, I mean, that's the appropriate response. If you're armed and someone's attacking you with a sawed-off shotgun, you're not just going to stand there.
Well, it depends, man. If I've got a threat facing me and the gun's at me, I got to think about that one. It's like, okay, Do I play this out and wait for the moment? But from what the story says, if I go just by what I hear in the story, guy points the shotgun, the victim draws his weapon and shoots. That's oniony, okay?
Yeah,
that's kind of oniony.
I'll grant that for certain.
Right. Story number two. Washington State homeowner stops burglar.
Why would you say you wouldn't do anything in that situation?
Would you do anything to me if I've got my gun pointed at you? It's out. It's pointed at you.
And it's a sawed-off shotgun?
Wouldn't you think maybe I'll comply? The guy's got this gun pointed right at you.
Oh, because like, you're saying you got no other choice.
You may not know. Let's say he may have just
been robbing you, and if you give him the money, he's going to leave you alone.
Yeah.
Which is what I say. I say we get into these self-defense cases that you asked me about. I said this is unrealistic because he's already got the gun on you, but you always say,
if the person looks at a different way, if the gun points in a different direction and I know my reaction time and what I can do, then there's a break. But if it's directly at me and all his attention is directly on me, I'm going to wait. I'm going to play the game, man. You got to play it, man. Okay, where was I here? Washington State homeowner stops burglar. Hearing banging noises outside his home early one morning, a Ferndale man took a gun with him for protection while investigating. He found a strange young man had broken a rear window in his garage and entered the fenced area. The burglar submitted peacefully to the owner, who held him at gunpoint for responding police. The offender was arrested without incident on burglary and malicious mischief charges. Now, Trey, you heard my tone in my voice.
I knew exactly. As soon as I heard it and I saw how you read it, like, yeah. He didn't wait and go back to get his gun. He took it with him.
That's right. We're all learning here on this show. It's fantastic. Story number three. Texas homeowner shoots man breaking into home. There's a bunch of Texas ones in here. I wanted to say them all at once, but then I didn't want to shoot the wad too quick. I wanted to keep it for future weeks. Shotgun?
Yeah.
Shotgun? Okay.
I'm sure.
We get it.
All right. Story number three. Texas homeowner shoots a man breaking into home. You can't see it over the radio, but I'm turning red in the face. Okay. A Bowie County man. How would you say it? Bowie or Bowie? Texan?
Bowie.
Bowie? Okay. The Bowie County man heard unusual sounds at his back door at about 9:30 one night. On seeing a strange man trying to break into his house, the homeowner fired a single shot at him, wounding him and ending the criminal invasion. County sheriff's deputies are investigating the incident and have not charged the homeowner. Man, the story doesn't even say it, and the guy got it already. Heard noises, had the gun at the ready, took the shot, boom. What do you say, Mr. Attorney? Was he in the right? He did not penetrate the perimeter of the house. He fired anyway. He's attempting to, so that covers you, right?
Yes.
I learned so much from you guys. Rick and Ross here, man. What a tag team match. All right, that's the true stories in self-defense. Very good. Now, as always, I will not let you down. And ladies and gentlemen, you know school's next week, right? Well, what do you think my opinion piece is about? I think you're going to like this. But I've got to put on my thinking cap.
Pipe?
No pipe today. You guys made too much fun of me with my pipe. Okay. Opinion piece. The title is, School is Open. Is everyone ready? Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't say it, you'll be living in denial. There is going to be another incident in one of our schools in this great country of ours. Will it be somewhere else or right in our backyard? Only time will tell on that. You've had all summer to prepare for the potential of an incident happening at your location. Did you use that time wisely? Did you accept the fact that something somewhere is going to happen? Did you discuss with your children, your teachers, what to do if a crisis were to happen at your location? Did you teach your kids that if they can, run? If they can't, then hide. And if they can't do that, then fight. Did you teach them how to fight back? Or did you just put your head in the sand and say, it won't happen here? If you said that, then you're part of the problem. Guns are here to stay, so get over it. Since that is the case, what can we teach our kids and teachers to do if a crisis situation happens at their location? If my kids were still in school, I'd be teaching them how to take that MF'er down with no gun. I'd teach them to die fighting than to be sitting ducks. The whole reason these dirtbags attack schools is because it's like shooting fish in a barrel. It's easy. These creeps don't want resistance. They want a body count and news coverage. Deny them the glory on both counts and you will see school shootings disappear. Continue to give the shooter a venue and you'll have repeat performances. When there's nothing else to do, being passive is not the answer. Aggression with extreme prejudice is the way to go about stopping the shooter. Will you be unarmed by doing that? I don't know. I'm sorry, will you be unharmed by doing that? That I don't know. But what I do know is that huddling in a group is the most stupidest thing to do. Whoever teaches that should be shot themselves. Attack! It's possibly the last thing the dirtbag will expect. So instead of seeing through backpacks, okay, these clear backpacks, and t-shirts that don't offend anyone, give your children the knowledge of spontaneity, the gift of thinking it through on the fly, the confidence to attack the attacker. That is the only option left. With that, Trey, let's take a break, and we are perfectly on time. And when we come back, we're going to have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, and we're going to be talking tampering with evidence, both physical and digital.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cabin Venture Radio Program. It's August 11th, 2018, and to my left, I have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson.
Oh,
Ross,
yeah.
How you doing, buddy? Good to see you.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for covering for me last week, man.
No problem. I was talking to Rick via text the other day. I didn't realize he came back this...
Oh, is he back? On. He's always gone somewhere.
Trying to get him back on. This
so
section,
big-timers do.
This segment sponsored by Copland with Don Craig.
Was he on his yacht?
I love you, Rick. Okay, what are we talking about today? We're talking about tampering with evidence, both physical and digital, and during investigation and not during investigation. So you're the man.
I actually wish Rick would have came in on this. There was probably some fun stuff about...
Well, Rick, if you're listening, give us a call. We can get you on the line.
Some corporations, these consumer and purse pieces, a lot of good, fun, you know, cases from the criminal sector, but there's a lot of, like, crazy and shady civil side. Well, that this tampering with evidence statute actually comes in handy for little guy in the civil side of it, as opposed to when you're facing criminal charges, it's usually the little guy that's getting his knees knocked out from under him. So it's kind of a good and bad statute, but we're going to talk about some of the dangers and the traps that a lot of people don't see. And so,
and of course, this is the LTC attorney said, so somehow, some way, it's going to connect with this.
Well, that's how it started. Asked me, I think we've done this segment
You shoot somebody on the porch and you drag them in. You just tamper with evidence. I was administering first aid.
just don't pull a Darlene Gentry. I think, what was her name? So you know, from Cameron Doskasil. So we're talking... And when you get caught on tape dumping the murder weapon in the lake, that's obviously... I guess we should have talked about that on the when we did the cameras. That would be tampering with evidence. And so, I mean, yes, but know this: there's a separate part of the tampering with evidence statute, and that what guys want to go look at it. It's in Texas 37.09, and going to be tampering with or fabricating physical evidence. And so, a big part of this statute, which I will start off with the LTC, and I won't get into the very minute details at the very beginning, but you're going to see down at the bottom where it talks about a human corpse. And so they've got in there, if a person observes a human corpse and it's reasonable that you know, think that a crime had been committed and you fail to report the existence, okay, and location of the corpse, then you're going to be in trouble under this statute. Okay, and you know, you start off and you say that, I guess they have some good intention that rule, but you think about it, kid, you know, is walking in a park, you know, and oh crap, what is that, a dead body? And it's kind of like the movies kind of thing, and they don't do anything, they just take off running. Okay, I mean, there's a reason why our law started off not making people have affirmative do things, and I think to require this all the time is a little overreaching, but it does have some good effect, because you know, you're not going to be able to mess with a body. Not going to be able to kill somebody and then not report. What is that, to Bernie?
Yeah.
No, not Weekend at Bernie's. The guy in Texas, there was a funeral home manager, and then he started working for that old lady, and she was a real person. Matthew McConaughey. You guys haven't seen it?
I saw it, but I may be getting it mixed up with another
movie. It's called Bernie. So, he chopped her up, you know, and put him in the freezer. Right, and he had to have
that's real current events, isn't it?
Yeah, and so he had to have and the lady was so mean that the prosecutor knew that it would be a not guilty, right, in that town, and so they tried with all their might to get the trial transferred to another county just so they could get a conviction in that case, because the lady was so,
so mean
that it would have been fine, that'd have been okay with her getting chopped up. So you guys got to see that movie, isn't it? That's what I said. I have a twisted defense attorney because we see so much,
and that's why you're on the show.
Crap every day, but anyway, yeah, those kinds of things, messing with a corpse, a dead body, those have some good intentions, good effects, good purposes. So just watch yourself. You're trying to mess with the scene, okay, of what happens. Trying to ask me, did they actually penetrate the barrier of the household, the threshold of the doorway? Mm-hmm. You know, don't be trying to pull them in the in the house.
Now,
right?
If they're attempting to break in, okay. But if they haven't done it yet, then don't be shooting.
So, you know, at least wipe the blood up on the steps.
Oh, stop, bro. don't say that, man. Well, he said you could do it. I was listening to that gun show, and they said you could do that.
So you guys be careful about doing that. That's what part of this tampering with evidence statute really covers. But I don't, you know, I'm a realist. Hopefully those things never happen to you. We did talk about it. That you be aware. If you try to do something, you'll be in trouble. But I want to talk about real-world situations.
And the number here is 254-697-6633. Give us a call.
I want to talk about everyday type of stuff. And this is where this little law becomes extremely dangerous. I actually appealed a case all the way to the Texas Court of Criminal, the Supreme Court, basically, over criminal cases for Texas. And about child pornography and tampering with evidence. You say, well, you know, why are you defending somebody in a child pornography case? You know, everything is not so clear as what the media puts it and just what the words that go to describe a case. There's facts in a case that make it different and not the same as any other. Okay, and not the same as the tip case that maybe you think. And so here's some of the problems with this rule. It talks about a person commits an offense. We have two pillars, right? You have one when there's an investigation, and you have one when there's no investigation. Okay, and so one we're looking at is an official proceeding, okay, or investigation pending or in progress. Okay, now Matt, let me ask you this.
Yes,
when
right.
I say pending investigation, what is that?
Pending. It's in the process. There, you're waiting for its results.
Oh, yeah. So then what's in progress? Good. Right? About to happen. Right? I wouldn't have thought of that.
No. What if you had the case and it was done and you're pending its outcome? That's where I'm getting at.
In progress.
Technically. Hey, see this?
Hey,
I'm splitting a hair.
Man, I got asked this question right when I was at the beginning. First month lawyer. Lawyer asked me, what's the difference between in progress? I couldn't answer. It's a hard thing to answer. I mean, that's the definition of, that's the dictionary definition, pending, about to happen. But when we say a pending investigation, we feel like it's gone going or it's about to have a result. That's what I would have said, the same thing you did. Okay, and so when I just talked about there's two pillars to the statute, right? There's the subsection A and there's a subsection D. Okay, A talks about pending investigation or in progress. Well, pending, about to happen means it's not happening. So what's the difference really in A and D?
You just spun me around the block here.
D talks about no investigation. It could be used later in an investigation. Well, is we talking about there's no investigation even pending? Or any time, at any point in time in 20 years from now? That's tenuous. I mean, it's so remote from what would be going on in your mind at the moment. Okay, there's got to be some awareness to the criminal law. And so how are you to know if an object could be used as evidence in a pending investigation or even an investigation at any time? Okay, yeah, sometimes, obviously, we know. Okay, but there are some things. How do you know what's going to be evidence and not evidence?
I don't know.
You say, well, they wouldn't
if
prosecute
you can't anybody. See this on the radio, but I'm giving him a very stupid look due to ignorance. I'm like, okay, keep going. I want to figure this out as you keep going on.
People are prosecuted for these crimes. Oh, and by the way, if you think that police officers, I have in jury trials all the time, we ask a question. On a scale from 1 to 10, who thinks that police officers break the law? You know, and we mean break the law in the course of their duties. Okay, normally, the people are like, sometimes, you know, seldom, but they do it. And some people go all the time, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Right? Then you got people, and those are unreasonable people, too. I don't think they all the time break the law, right? And then you have people say never. Well, for those of you who raise your hand in these jury trials and we ask you serious questions and you say never, right, come to my office and I'll show you the number of times that cases have been appealed because police officers have tampered with evidence.
Is there a separation between tampering because they did it on purpose or they did it accidentally? Can you break that question down that way?
Oh, yeah. You're going to have specific intent or okay. At least some specific knowledge.
You got to make a big difference on the answer. That
right, right. If knowing that an investigation or official proceeding is pending or in progress, alters, destroys, or conceals any record, document, or thing. And so I like to just say anything. That's just because that's what it says. It says anything. So alters, destroys, or conceals anything with the intent to impair its verity, legibility, availability as evidence in that investigation or proceeding. Okay, you see how broad it is? You are going to have this intent factor. You're going to have this specific intent, right, to destroy it, alter it, or conceal it, right, with the intent, right, that it affect this particular thing. Okay, you're also going to, or makes, presents, or uses anything, okay, and it says document, but it says thing. So anything, right, with knowledge of its falsity and with intent to affect the course or outcome. Okay. That's a lot of words there, but what I want to get to is, yes, there's a specific intent. You have to have the intent. What does destroy?
You eliminate from the possibility of being used.
I would say that's probably the best, just off the cuff definition I've ever had anybody tell me.
Thank you very much.
Right? But so when we look at these words, every one of them is ambiguous, and the courts have struggled with destroy over and over and over again. So they talked about, destroy means it's got to be absolutely destroyed, right? Well, then that would mean if the state entered evidence of the thing, that means it had not been destroyed, so then the state has no case, right? But then the state would argue, no, if it eliminates any of the evidentiary value, any of it at all, right, then it's destroyed. Well, that's too broad, right? Any value, if, you know, in other words, like if my guy has a marijuana cigarette, okay, and the police come to stop him and he rips his marijuana cigarette in half and throws it in the ditch, okay, but the police go and find both halves of the... Is that really destroyed? Because there's two pieces now.
Or it'd be the same thing as he got one and he smoked half of it. Does that mean it's still not... It's not
yeah, exactly. So, and you've had cases. You've had these cases come up where the you know, kids are getting stopped and they'll just eat the you know, eight ball or eat the marijuana cigarette or, you know, just trash the cigarillo. Whatever they're trying to do, these cases have it all the time. Yeah, I'm telling you. and I've had cases where the guy has the crack pipe, okay, and drops it when they're grabbing him, right? They're grabbing him to put him in handcuffs, and the crack pipe comes out of his pocket, falls on the ground, and cracks, breaks, and he gets charged with tampering. And I'm like, man, dude,
that's the true meaning of the word.
I mean, it's not destroyed, it's not concealed, it's not altered. Or is it altered? Is it altered? And so you get into these cases, and you're just this statute is very frustrating. I think it's overly broad. It lets the state get some good leverage in some cases when they need leverage. Okay, but in other times it's very dangerous. Okay, and so I want to go back to the child pornography, electronic sexual visual material depicting a minor. Okay, and so those are two different laws, and one of them talks about obviously the child pornography, and you can't have, you know, any kind of material that depicts the areola or some other kind of private part of a child, and child means younger than 18 years of age, 17 years of age in child pornography statute, okay? And so the visual material is going to be, you know, the same kind of issue, right? But it's something that would be transmitted between minors, okay? Or something that was sent from a minor to another adult individual. Regardless, both of these things make it illegal to possess some kind of sexual, right, depiction, okay, of a minor, which is going to be under the age of 17 years of age, okay, 17 years old. Say, that's good. That's real good. I'm glad we have this law. Well, you can actually have sex with, right, someone who is going to be, I think I got this back. We're talking about, so a child's going to be younger than 17 years of age, okay. So a minor is going to be anybody that's younger than 18 years of age. So you could actually have sex with a 17-year-old, okay? But if you take pictures of it, you're in possession of child pornography. Yeah, I said this back, okay? But it's going to be, so a child's going to be younger than 18 years of age. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, and a minor is going to be younger than 17.
17 or younger, yeah.
Okay, so you could have sex with, right, the 17-year-old, but you couldn't take pictures of the 17-year-old. And you say, well, why should you be taking pictures anyway? What if you're 21 years old, going out with a 17-year-old who's a senior, right, in high school, okay? And she sends you a picture, right, of herself. You guys have been sexually active for years, okay? All right, and she sends you this pic. Maybe not years, because that would be illegal, right? But hey, right. Let's say you've been sexually active. I meant months.
Yeah,
I got tongue-tied earlier, so then I just keep. Okay, you've been sexually active for months, right? At this age, she sends you a picture. You didn't ask for it. What do you do?
Leap.
Now you've tampered with evidence.
Oh no!
You can't possess.
So it's a double-edged sword.
Okay, I know I stuttered, but I want you guys to see the importance.
If I get it, I'm quote unquote screwed. If I delete it, I'm screwed.
I'm the 21-year-old. I can absolutely have sex with her. She's over 17 years of age.
Understood, but it's the pictures that you can't have.
But I cannot have the pictures. I didn't ask for them. She sent them to me.
But you're still in possession of them. There we go.
And so I'm in possession of child pornography.
Based on what you say, yes.
That's true. That's absolutely true. That's true. I promise you. I appealed on this ground.
Okay.
And they haven't changed the law since.
I'm saying that's what you're saying. Okay, based on the law, that's illegal to have.
That's wrong. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. Okay. And you can go read some of the record in the appeal, right? What if, I'm not going to say any particular facts of the case. I don't want to. What if you go to the parents? You're stupid because they're going to call the police. They're going to call the police and say, why are you taking pictures? Blah, 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 blah. Unless you're in a good relationship with them. Right?
That's not weird.
That's weird, right? Who's going to do that?
Okay, now just roll it back and explain how this is tampering with evidence. Okay, so here you got this picture sent to you by the 17.
If you delete that item. Right, you have effectively destroyed.
But if you don't delete it,
you're in possession of child pornography.
So what do you do? Throw the phone out?
This is a great issue. Right? I mean, it's not a great issue for you, right? If you're the 21-year-old, okay?
17-year-old sitting back laughing.
But it's a great issue for me because I'm going to charge you $10,000 to try to fight this case.
How do you win it? It's like a two-edged sword. You can't win it.
It's hard. And it's stupid. This is a dumb idea. But this happens. This could be the case with anything.
But you're...
Let's say somebody sends you a picture of the murder weapon.
Let's do that, because with this other one, there's no way to go. I want to get people to understand why, when you talked about the picture being sent by the 17-year-old, and you delete it, you tampered with it, but you're screwed on the other sense. Let's talk about the picture of the gun here. It has nothing to do with age. It's just an actual item for a crime, and you delete the picture. Now, let's talk about tampering with the evidence.
Yeah, so then what is conceal?
To hide from plain view.
Is it, or is it a failure to disclose?
Depends on the discussion you're having.
Exactly. It depends on whatever the judges say they want the result to be.
Pause. Awkward pause.
That's what's true. I'm telling you. Look, they conceal. No judge would tell you that a failure to disclose would be concealed. Right. But I'm telling you that these definitions are so problematic, and these words in this thing are so problematic, that they're not being given their reasonable application. And so you have cases where people have just failed to disclose things, okay, without ever have being asked to disclose it, okay, and have gotten in trouble under these kinds of laws.
So what is the advice to people who come under these certain...
My advice is that these laws, that this kind of law right here is extremely dangerous.
So how can one protect themselves against getting...
Sometimes there is no good answer. There's no good answer.
Can you give a few relative ideas or examples of how that can pertain to maybe
a good history, a good record, right, and you've got some kind of rapport with local officials, I would say that if somebody sent something to you and you really have done nothing wrong, right, and you feel comfortable, go ahead and go to the police station. Look, especially like something on your phone, like, look, this was sent to me. I don't want nothing to do with this. Like, think about it, man. What if your buddy sends you some picture of some girl he thinks is hot, right? And you looking at it and you think, oh crap, you think that doesn't happen? What if this happened? This is a real case, right? What if I keep going back to this. I can't get over it. It's one that just irked me, and it's irked me since my appeal. I mean, I lost that appeal, obviously, but there were some other facts that the court, I think, just didn't want to hear right then. But we ended up getting that one dismissed and some other things happened. So but my point is this. What if you have a right to be able to avert your eyes from any speech you don't agree with. Don't agree with that?
Say it again.
I've got a right not to look at or listen to speech that I disagree with.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so in other words, this was said by the Supreme Court, right? In the
change
case.
The dial. You don't like this show, change the dial.
Right, exactly. Okay, and so if this is true, why do I not have a right to dispossess myself of communication that I don't agree with?
That's a perfect example for Alex Jones and InfoWars. I'm not going to get into that. I'm strictly stating him getting cut off. If you don't know who that is, look it up. But him getting cut off because they don't like him is a major freaking no-no. If a guy was doing something wrong, it's different. But to take somebody's speech away because you just don't like what he's saying, change the freaking channel. I have paused. Go back.
I'm talking about government, right? Control over First Amendment rights.
I know, but the government's supposed to protect your freedom of speech. And that particular individual's freedom of speech was being cut off because he did nothing wrong other than speak his mind. But I'm sidebarring here.
So in this situation, right, does the government have a right to tell me I cannot dispossess myself of communication I disagree with when I've got the absolute First Amendment right to do so?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, but saying that I can't, right, under the tampering with evidence statute, right, now causes me to have criminal liability. And if I've got to go and turn over this communication, then I'm also effectively, right, incriminating myself. When I also have a Fifth Amendment right, right, not to incriminate myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to make something clear here. I'm 55 years old, and I'm one of the most average Joes around. My brain capacity is average. Everything about me is average, okay? Ross, you're talking some great stuff here, but because I'm average, I'm listening to you. I don't know what to do right now. Tell me.
There are two things.
Wrap it up here. We got time. We got plenty of time. But swing us back around as to how somebody, with all this information that you're putting out, can do something.
I don't think you see what I'm saying. I'm just telling you how many rights this violates, right? Because there is no good answer.
Okay, so what does somebody do when there's no good answer?
What to do, and I'm telling you that under this law, many times there is no good answer. The prosecutor would say, well, come to the police station, turn over, you won't have a problem. Yes, you will. And if you do that and you've got a criminal record, you're going to jail. I'm telling you from the defense side. So you want to hear it from a public official standpoint, we're not going to take you to jail. The best thing for you to do is come to the police station and turn that over as for use of evidence in the thing. Now, I'm telling you that doing that, right, is not always going to be the best course of action because you're going to get yourself in trouble. And I can tell you that from my own experience. So, I've seen it. Somebody tried to go to the police, turn it over, and they end up going to jail, and they end up getting accused for it.
So instead of calling up the local police chief, they should be calling up their local Rick Dodd or Benton Ross Watson.
I would say maybe you can contact an attorney and, you know, try to have the attorney turn it over to the police and be anonymous about who the giver was. But then you're putting me into a situation of concealing evidence because they're going to want to know who turned it over to me. And I don't know that it's arguable whether the identity, right, is necessarily privileged, but, you know.
So then the answer is get rid of it and pray for the best. Okay, that's with digital evidence you're saying.
You see, I really didn't give you an answer that was verbal. But I guess you guys can go watch YouTube after this is over. Okay, I mean, I don't think that that's, I'll say this, I don't think that that's always the bad answer. That is sometimes probably the answer. But for me to say that is me advocating for you to tamper with evidence.
Okay.
And then the government gets in these situations too where they want you to like voluntarily disclose information. And I'm thinking the statute itself has a provision there that talks about information that's privileged or information that's work product. It does not apply to this thing, but I want to show you this other defense that says it is a defense to prosecution that the record, document, or thing was visual material prohibited under the visual material depicting a minor statute and was destroyed under F3B. F3B applies to another minor. So if another minor destroys it, they allow that minor to destroy it. They don't give adults any defense.
Okay.
And so my point is the legislature, and you can go read the legislative history. The legislature is aware of the great threat, right, that people are in danger of coming under, right, with digital criminal material. They know this. And they talked about, well, I don't want kids. They don't want kids to be in trouble who just receive information that they didn't ask for. What? And so they give them a defense to destroy that information. The same applies to adults. And I feel like the legislature should have given an adult a defense to destroy information that they didn't want either. And in my opinion, this is a violation of equal protection.
Have you done that in court?
Yes, I've litigated this hardcore.
How does it go for you when you do
that? I get mixed emotions, and judges probably like you. I don't understand. Judge, if I sent you a naked picture, right, of a child on your phone, Judge, what would you do?
Delete it.
You've just committed a third-degree felony, Your Honor. That's been my best tactic.
And so the judge would go, you got me on that one.
Yeah, and then they look at the state and go, what are they supposed to do? And the state, well, we just want you to uphold it, Judge, because there's no other law that says this, and this is what we want you to do. Okay, that's what I'm going to do, right? And then I appeal it. Sometimes judges agree, sometimes they don't.
Wow. When you made it in that example, it just all brought it to light, clear. It was a lot of stuff there. I was trying to follow you, looking and scatterbrain today, so I didn't get it. But when you did that, I get your point. It's like, hey, man, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. We got to fix this problem.
And this is what I'm saying. You want me to give you an answer about what to do. There is no good answer in this situation. And it's a great threat, realistic threat. It's something that happens, right, probably somewhere in this country, right, if not several, thousands.
Times,
okay? Yeah. Okay? But it's something that really needs to be changed, Okay, and there needs to be a push from the public to your officials about this. Okay, because it's not fair. And I've talked to judges that I haven't had the case with and told them about it. They say, wow, man, that is crazy. And I said, what if, judge, what if I want to sabotage your camp? All I got to do is, what if you're a stepdad or a preacher that the kids don't like?
But you just planted a million seeds out there, man.
Hey, I'm just saying, this has already happened. I'm not planting seeds. This has already happened. People have already gotten set up like this.
Without mentioning names, you talk to people in these positions who can make a decision call, judges and so on and so forth, where they've had a case like this. Do they, or if they have had a case like this, do they uphold it out of fear of repercussions because they didn't uphold the law? Or can they go off of that and say, I'm going to call this the way it is?
Hey, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not, it's the legislature's fault. Legislature's fault. They don't give us a defense. Okay, the judges are just trying to state it. It's not their fault either.
Look, can the judge say, screw the law, I'm going to judge it this way?
There could be some rights for them to say that, right? But they're going out on a limb saying that, and then they're going to have the DA's office, person with possession of child pornography off, what are we doing? Wow. And it's not really that kind of case, you know? It's not there. And then, you know, some judges will be like, look, I'm not going to dismiss the case, but I'll let you argue that to the judge. Well, judge, you're putting my client at an extreme risk. Right, for no reason, when it's not, when there's no dispute about how he got this thing. Okay, and then sometimes the DAs say, look, they just want to be right, and then after I'm right, they go, look, we don't want to try this case. Let's do what we can to make it go away. Okay, and so, I mean, it's just a realistic thing. I'm just telling people to be careful, right, especially about who they give their phone number to now, too.
Somebody's, you know, Ross, what you do is kind of what I do, classes, and that is I take the laws, look at them word for word, I ask questions and talk to you about it and all this kind of stuff to get clarity on what the law says. And people say, well, it doesn't really mean that, or this isn't going to happen. But I'm the one who looks not three steps down the road, but five steps down the road. And it's at step five is where I see the problem where that law comes into play. And what you're doing here is clarifying, opening up people's minds, and it goes down 5, 7, 8, 9, 10 steps down the road to see house of cards are going to fall down on you. So I think that's really good. Knowing and understanding the laws and what they mean and the double jeopardies in them and the parts that can get you when you thought you're doing right, it's just good to know. So that's why these segments are very good. Ross and Rick, they're excellent at what they do. We got the YouTubes that are up. You need to go check them out on all these different
codes. I mean, watch too, like people, you know, how people, right, or in tech mad at you. I haven't had any love life in a while. So, but, you know, when you go and you're and have a cell phone in college, you know, the other paramour is mad at you and they just go off in a text message and it's like it's like reading a book and they're just like going off on you. If that's evidence, if it's ever evidence of me, right? We talked about the no investigation, right? It doesn't have to be an investigation, but it could be evidence later, right? And so it doesn't just apply to these pictures of child pornography. You could have a confession or something right within a text message that you don't really know what to do. Do you have a right to delete it? And my argument is absolutely, you have a First Amendment right to dislocation. You don't agree with it that you don't want, right? Where the state's argument is going to be, you have a duty to turn that over. You have a duty to turn that over to a law enforcement authority. And these technology and law is going to come, they're already coming to an extreme clash, right? And they're going to continue to butt heads for a long time to figure some of this out. And so that's why we do this show, try to help people and to try to encourage people, reach out to their government, reach out to their politicians, local people that have some control, and to make good decisions in these elections so that we're getting reasonable people in office that can make reasonable decisions that we're not scared of.
Okay, I want to just wrap it up by saying one thing. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. You're a concealed carry holder. You're being confronted by somebody, and you do reckless recklessness, because you took out your semi-automatic pistol that carries, let's say, 15 rounds, and you shot 15 times but only hit the person once, and you pick up 14 shell cases, put them in your pocket, and they think you only shot once. Is that tampering with evidence?
Absolutely.
And that's what you don't want to do. That's a physical example. So if you're there and you don't know how to shoot...
When you picked them up and put them in your pocket, did you go throw them in the trash?
You did not want to show that you shot so many times.
Yeah.
That was just a quick example for somebody simple like me to understand the concept of tampering with evidence. Okay. Ross, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, and go ahead.
My name is Benton Ross Watson. You can contact me at 105 East Main Street here in Cameron. Got the big milk cow on the side. You can email me. Hey, we love emails and questions like that. If you do, email me at Benton@Watson.legal, Benton@Watson.legal. Make sure when you email, you leave a phone number. because I can't always email you back, but I will call you back if you leave a phone number. You can also call me by to schedule an appointment here in Cameron or in College Station or Houston at 254-605-4140. That's 254-605-4140. Again, Rick Dodd, I appreciate you sponsoring the show. Thanks for calling me on and always being there, man. I appreciate it.
It's always a great time with you guys. Thanks a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. Trey, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll get the delicious Janae Goodman talking about time-saving stuff for the week. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cabin Adventure Radio Program. It's August 11, 2018. We're here live. We've got about another 36 minutes to go, and we're in our product spotlight section. Product spotlight sponsored by ANC Firearms out of Heidenhammer. Arch Kuntz is the owner. Known him for a long time. He's a great guy. Consistently nice all the time. His staff is awesome. He's got Clint, Mike, Dennis there. They got guns, you know, pistols, revolvers, shotguns, rifles, ammo, knives, accessories, the whole works. You need to check him out in Heidenhammer. He helps support the show, just like all the other sponsors that we have, and I can't thank them enough. And if you want to be a sponsor, give me a call. We've got many sections here available for you to be a sponsor in the program, promote your business, and help out the show at the same time. Today's product spotlight, I'm going to turn this into a video, is going to be the Hungarian PA-63. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't tell you enough good things about this handgun. I've been in business now for 20 years, and way back in the beginning, I saw this come out, and they were pretty cheap because they were surplus guns. And I said, you know, it looks pretty cool. It looks like the Walther PP model. Bought it. I've sold hundreds of these things, and everybody says the same thing. They're incredibly accurate, fun to shoot, easy to shoot, so on and so forth. So I wanted to talk to you about it, spread the word on it, and go to ANC Firearms, and they can find you one and get you one. But it's a great concealed carry gun for a very good price. So let me read to you an article written by theamericanrifleman.org by Hayden Foster, and I dissected it just to go to certain points because I don't have enough time to read the whole thing. In today's world of concealable handguns, those looking for similar functionality to the higher-priced double-action pistols without a huge price tag, the Hungarian-made FEG PA-63 is an option to consider. The PA-63 is a compact handgun that is immediately recognizable to most gun enthusiasts. Still, some may mistakenly pick it up, strike a pose, and make a generic James Bond quote thinking that it was the Walther PPK. This error is understandable. Both are virtually identical in outline, with the PA-63 mimicking many of the same attributes of the PPK. Features the same blowback action with the barrel fixed to the receiver while functioning as the guide rod for the recoil spring. By use of a single-stack magazine feature, an exposed hammer, and a double single-action trigger that is decocked by rolling down the safety lever, the PA-63 lacks a manual slide catch and field strips the same as a PPK would. Where the PA-63 differs from the PPK is in its less costly construction. Instead of using all-steel frame like the original Walther, the PA-63's frame is made of aluminum alloy. Other differences include simplified parts for the ease of mass production that lack the extra craftsmanship and tighter tolerances of a Walther. These traits come from the PA-63's development of by FEG in Budapest as an economical service pistol option for the Hungarian military and police during the Cold War. FEG, renamed FEG Army after the fall of the Iron Curtain, had a prior history of producing PPK clones, starting with the Model 48 during the 40s. FEG made slight changes to the design of its previous PPK clones during the 50s, resulting in the PA-63. This new handgun boasted the reliability of the tried Walther design without the durability of the all-steel construction, and the PA-63s were widely used as a standard firearm of the Hungarian military and police up to the 1990s. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, the PA-63 was one of the most mass-produced communist bloc guns imported into the United States as surplus and even new manufacture. I've had many guns like this, this is me talking, that I've sold in the PA-63 that come out and they're like brand spanking new. It's like new old inventory. Today, the PA-63 can be found for about $250 to $300, making it an affordable concealed carry option when compared to other guns with similar features. The small single-stack frame allows the PA-63 to fit in pockets or to be tucked away inside waistband with relative ease and, more importantly, without being too noticeable. Despite the small size, it does not feel too small in the grip. Its grip and thumb rest on the left side, I've converted mine personally. I'm a left-handed shooter. The thumb grip was made for a right-handed shooter. So if you're a left-handed shooter getting one of these, you might consider finding flat grips for it. And its magazine floor plate includes a built-in pinky extension, both of which result in a comfortable fit into the user's hand. The rounded snag-free features inherent in the PPK design, like the small iron sights, are advantageous for use as a concealed carry. Its magazine capacity of 7 rounds is noteworthy for a handgun in that size category. The nature of the barrel being fixed to the lower frame. This is pretty cool. The nature of the barrel being fixed into the lower frame results in better control and accuracy than in a locked breech design where the barrel pitches and moves as functioning part of the action. Probably the most desirable feature of the PA63 as a concealed carry handgun is its single action, double action with the safety lever doubling as a decocker. This gives the user a choice of carrying the handgun with a round in the chamber with the hammer down or with the safety either on or off the double action first shot. This rough double action trigger pull follows a smooth single action trigger pull for the remainder of the rounds in the magazine. Single action trigger pull is quite pleasant with a relatively short reset, a superb feature especially on a less expensive handgun. Despite the drawbacks of its lighter construction versus the original Walther design from which it was derived, the Hungarian PA63 is an affordable and reliable option for those who do not want to spend money on an actual Walther PPK or other premium pocket guns. As a less expensive option, it's a handgun that is better suited to the wear and tear of regular concealed carry versus premium pocket guns. That is not to say that it's necessarily an equal to the more expensive options out there, but with $30 worth of upgrades, this $250 surplus pocket gun is well worth the money. Now, this is me speaking. This gun, is extremely accurate, extremely dependable, extremely cool looking, fits great in the hand, and you can modify and adjust it to your liking with relative ease. If you know what you're doing, and if you don't, and you pick one up, you can always ask me because I've played with mine and it shoots great. And I was just telling the story of how I shot a coyote on the run at 60 yards with this thing. I didn't think I could do it. And I pulled it out and shot. Things shoot so straight. I was just worried about the drop of the bullet. And sure enough, I got it. It's extremely accurate, extremely quick to point shoot with it. And I really think you're going to like it. So check out ANC Firearms. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Look at the video on the Facebook page. And then give ANC Firearms a call at 254-983-4417. Tell them, hey, I just heard Matt talking about that PA63. I want one. Have them order it for you. They'll find it and get it for you, and it'll be a good price. And I'm telling you, it's a quality gun for the price you're going to pay. So check it out. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. Talk to either Arch, Mike, Dennis, Clint. Tell them you heard it on the show here, and you want to order a PA63 9x18. And they also have them in 380s, which are pretty cool, too. I've got both. Anyway, Trey, let's take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to have our in-house spec operator and brother from another mother, Mark Boyer, and we're going to be talking school openings and what we can do. It's August 11, 2018. We got about 25 minutes left. And before we get to the awesome Mark Boyer here, I've got a few things I want to announce. Last night was our last round robin. We had a whole bunch of people come in competing, and we had some young ladies in there, a couple new guys in there, and all had a great time. They realized the differences between different actions of guns and how it can affect your shooting, because if you don't understand how triggers work and the actions, it can deviate where the shot's going to go if you're not prepared for it. So what happens is with these round robin competitions that I do, it's designed to aid you. God forbid if you ever have a situation where you have to use your firearm to make you better, quicker, faster on your feet and with the ability to shoot your handgun more accurately. So if you've never done one, it's every second Friday of the month, the round robin competition. Check it out. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. You all the rules on how it works. Actually check some videos out on the YouTube channel. Go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. Third Fridays of the month, which will be next Friday, is Ladies' Night. Trey, help me. If you what? As a woman.
As a woman.
You get to shoot. Your range time is free. Okay. There you go. The number is 254-697-6633 if you want to complain to Trey. Also, I've got this. I got this article here. I just had to read it. This is a WTF moment. A WTF moment. You know what that is? What the? And here we go. Juvenile arrested in lemonade stand stick-up case. This is pathetic, man. North Carolina authorities arrested a juvenile Wednesday. They say robbed a 9-year-old lemonade vendor of $17 at gunpoint, a stick-up that prompted outpouring of sympathy and donations for the young entrepreneur. I'll just leave it at that. Is that pathetic or what? An armed robbery on a lemonade stand for $17. Unbelievable. Brother Mark Boyer, how you doing?
I'm happy, but you can't fix stupid. that is annoying.
Unbelievable. Okay, Mark, I asked you on here because school's opening up and you are a master at improvised security measures, weapons, protection devices, that and so on, so much more. So I wanted you on because school's starting. Heard and read my opinion piece. It kind of prepped the way. We've got articles here in the paper talking about how schools are preparing. I've got school districts calling me wanting training done for their teachers and so on and so forth. So everybody's gearing up. We're going to have an incident. You know we're going to have an incident. It's just going to happen. And so we need to prepare for it the best we can. So with that, brother, why don't you come on in and give us your thoughts and opinions, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty.
First, I really appreciate you calling me a master like that.
Well, you are, brother.
Well, I'm usually called a master at other things, but, you know, you talk about master.
It's a family show, Mark.
Master of improvisation, that's got to be Jackie Chan, because you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever he is, he creates weapons out of everything that's just within.
Everything.
And I went into planning this conversation because of that, because he just looks at his surroundings, and in a moment's notice, he has the right mindset. Grab the right tool for the job, whether it's keeping distance, buying himself time to react better, or if he's just going to grab a sharp, pointy object, gouge an eye out.
Or a curtain. I mean, a curtain. He can make a defensive tool, an attack weapon out of a curtain.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
T-shirts, anything like that.
Okay. You got some notes there. So go ahead and we'll open up this here. Ladies and gentlemen, the number is 254-697-6633. If you've got some comments, questions, concerns, all complaints go to Trey, and he'll file them accordingly. So go ahead, Mark. What do you got?
Well, first, I want to say thank you to our law enforcement and EMS people who are actually getting with the schools and coordinating some kind of standard operating procedures and rehearsals. They grabbed the faculty over the last week, all over Texas, actually. They grabbed the faculty, and they went through special training on active shooter, emergency medical procedures in case they have acid been injured. Mm-hmm. So if you have some key individuals that want to take the fight to the attacker, you may still have some teachers or faculty or other students that want to just be on a support team and take care of the wounded and get them out of the way. Crowd control, get them out, safe area, casualty collection point, that nature. But our law enforcement, they're being proactive instead of reactive. My God, that's what we need.
Proactive. I want to make a comment here. I want to say it before I forget to say it. That is, they promote run, hide, fight. I've only got one challenge with it. It's very minute. However, it's aggressive. If you have the ability to run away from a situation, by all means, do it without hesitation, doubt, or run. Get out of Dodge. If you can't run, but you can conceal yourself, preferably conceal and cover yourself, by all means, do that. Hopefully the threat will pass. But if you have to fight, this is where we get wishy-washy. No, we're not just going to fight. We're going to fight with extreme prejudice to take over and win the fight. That's the only difference I have, and I think that they hesitate from saying it because they're going 98% of the way. I want to go 100% of the way because that 2% is what gets you killed.
You know, one of my most motivational things that pumps me up is Christopher Walken's Lion speech. And I want everybody to look it up. But one of the last phrases that he says is, it's too late to be scared. Time to kill. And that's got to be it. You know, if everything else fails, you're not going to lay down. Mm-hmm. You're actually going to stand up like a wolf and rip the guy's throat out.
Now, between you and me, there is a time to kill. Keyword kill.
Absolutely.
But because we live in a politically correct society, I'm going to say that word kill. There's a perfect time to stop the threat. You read between the letters and figure out what that word stop means, okay? But to be politically correct, you're going to stop the threat, okay?
Yes. Very good. Thank you for reminding me.
Oh, no, I'm reminding myself, brother.
Because when I'm in the Middle East and when I'm in Africa, I eliminate the threat.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go. You got a list of things here. Let's go through it because I've got some things and we're going to talk about spontaneity and weapons of opportunity.
Well, and another thing, in my line of work, a lot of people watch TV, all these operators getting ready for a deployment, so they're packing their weapons, their sniper systems, etc. They get on a plane and then now they're in Europe. Well, that is so far from the truth. Can't even get my body armor, my Kevlar, on the aircraft without going to Department of Homeland Security or Customs. So when we get in country, we have to improvise. Most of the time, with all the garbage that's left over in the third world countries, a broken AK-47, a Makarov, or whatever. So that's my area of operations. But today, we're talking about bringing the area of operations to the school system. And in the school system and in our community, the attackers are always looking for a large crowd. whether it's a bunch of people huddled together looking for safety, or if they're in the hallway where you can be mass casualty situated. Nowhere to run. Everybody's in channeled down that hallway. You don't have to take aim. All you have to do is spray and pray. Then you got the dining facility.
Hell, you don't have to pray, man. Just have to spray.
You got gymnasiums for stadiums, big events like that, like in the football stadium just recently. Some guy goes out on the football field. And he starts shooting into the crowd. That was about 3 months ago. Then you've got the classroom. We're going to talk a little bit more about the classroom, how to improvise some of the defensive tools that we have in that classroom.
Trey, I want you in on this on some comments, okay?
Oh, Trey brought up some really good points earlier tonight about how the schools are already
Follow along the conversation. Come in when
yeah.
And thank you, Trey. You believe in it. Some of the other things I've got written down is just we've already talked about Jackie Chan. There are three type weapon systems I'd like to touch on about what is available. My first line of defense is distractive measures, distractive tools that will help buy us time to put our plan together or get to a safe area. Maybe get to another tool that we can use for a defensive weapon or an offensive weapon. Some of those tools, and I love this, and I've used fire extinguisher. You got a fire extinguisher. You can spray, you can fog up a whole classroom, disorienting your attacker, hiding the rest of the crowd, which gives you time to empty that fire extinguisher and then swing it around and bust him in the head with it.
Clint Smith, the guy who runs Thunder Ranch, he goes, I love this line, he goes, fire extinguisher, spray him with the white stuff and then hit him with the red thing.
Exactly.
There you go. Hey, I want to make a comment about what you said about distractions. When I was closing up the shop last night, our good friend Mike yes. R, I don't know if he wants me to say his name, so I won't. But
code name Raven.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
We're at the shop and we're talking and we're discussing distractive measures. And Mike's really good at this. He was demonstrating with his hat. Throw that hat as your hand's reaching for your weapon and you are going to dodge the hat. And it gives you just enough of a distraction on an individual. The weapon comes out and you got it.
He actually showed me a little sharp clip to put on the back of your hat. Yeah, and guy in Molly who appreciates that now. He's got a little scar right down the cheekbone.
I love it.
That's another story. But it works. A hat is an excellent distraction. A t-shirt thrown in the face. A cup of hot coffee. Anything.
CEFCO coffee from Hilltop.
It's the best. It's the best. So other distracting
keys
things.
Keys are a good one too.
Basketballs if you're in the gymnasium. Basketballs, throw it. Just start throwing at him. Misdirect the guy so he's trying to dodge. And while he's dodging, close the distance with him and go for the throat, or else you can just back away and get out the escape.
And once again, this is after running and hiding do not take effect. Not applicable. You got to call us, take it.
Yeah, avoidance is always.
Avoidance at all cost. If you can't hide, go ahead. This is Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio program. You're on the air. Who am I talking to?
This is Carol Pepler.
How you doing, buddy? What can I do for you?
Hey, I was just trying to figure out how to send a request to Rogers, Polka Van.
Just email it at kmil@kmil.com.
That's what I like about this show. It's not known enough. You shouldn't call during, don't call during my show. Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
I think it was pretty cool. I mean, he loves this radio show.
Pertinent information based on the show. Go ahead.
It's the best radio channel out there, I think. But, yeah, food trays if you're in the mess hall. Backpacks. Take off a backpack and swing it at the guy.
Speaking of backpacks, I want to make a comment.
You can also use that for a defensive tool.
Not only that, protection.
Yes.
Let's say the improvised weapon. You got a backpack, throw some thick covered books in there, thick books, and you have to run out. God forbid somebody's shooting at you. Maybe it'll catch the book and not you. If you are financially blessed, buy yourself some soft armor plates that you can put in your backpacks for your kids that can stop rifle rounds and all that. It's just possibly something that can be one extra step. Nobody knows it's there. It doesn't do anybody any harm. But God forbid if it happens, they can cover up on the protective vitals and maybe get out of the situation.
Speaking of that, I've got a couple extra of those. Had since Afghanistan. We'll talk about that. Yeah, all these things make the attacker duck or lose his focus. That's what you really want. That'll buy you time to close with or get your distance with. Distractions, or again, avoid the situation at all costs if you can. And if you're cornered, you got to flip that dime and give them 110%.
I think we got that down. Run, hide, distract. But I think a lot of people, because they haven't thought about it, they're very creative, but they had the creative thought of scissors, I cut clothes, I cut papers, I tape. Oh, I can use it as an implement of destruction on somebody's neck.
I remember my school teacher always saying, don't run with sharp, pointy objects.
Now look at this one.
It's funny,
one
mom
actually
always told
has,
me to.
This one actually still has a point on it. Must be old. Okay? But you grab this sucker, you can actually take it apart and have two, okay? But And it's in his throat. You got a weapon here. This is a vital weapon. So if somebody's coming up to you, you can use a pair of scissors that don't have the round end on it, like a surgical pair of scissors, and do some damage. What else can we do?
Folks, did you hear about how passionate he just got? That was excellent. But destructive tools that we have. Scissors, obviously. Baseball bats. Broken glass. Everybody, they don't pay attention to broken glass. You break a shard of glass off, wrap the end of it with a piece of fabric, a t-shirt or whatever, and you got an awesome cutting weapon. Of course, we don't want you to get cut in the process. It's already happening. You got glass laying around. Have a good day.
What about a belt with a nice buckle on it? I've got this belt on here that'll knock you out.
That's right. And it will distract. You belt for a choking device or restrictive device. You wrap it around the hands. You can tuck with it. And a mindset. Having the right attitude. You got all these parents out there who want to do the best for their kids because they love their kids. What about putting a survivalist attitude in? Not a survivalist that you're going to go stock up for a 5-year supply of pinto beans.
You just want to make it through the class day, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, 8 hours.
Take care of your people. Take care of your friends. Take care of your children. And you can't do that by just saying, oh, it'll never happen to you. Don't worry about it. Or, oh, that's just so harsh. No, you can't grow up like that. Reality check. You got to teach your kids how to survive. It's a rough world.
I want to read something to you. In my opinion piece, I stated how it's going to happen. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. It's just going to. Okay. To what degree, I don't know. But I read this in the Telegram, and this is on Thursday's paper, August 9th, and the headline reads, Prosecutor, Kids Trained to Shoot. This was in New Mexico. A father arrested at Ramshackle, New Mexico compound where 11 children were found living in filth was training youngsters to commit school shootings. Prosecutors said in court documents, blah, blah, blah. That's all I really got to read on that. You got sickos out there getting people trained to do dirty deeds. And then you've got people who want dirty deeds done that are of sound mind, but they're just of evil sound mind, plotting against our students to make some type of agenda come true. But then you got the sickos like this guy. So they're out there. They are out there. You better get your mindset, like Mark is saying, prepared. Trey, tell me what you got.
You know, if you're willing to teach your kids how to play baseball so they can beat the other team at baseball, why are you not willing to train your kids to survive in a situation?
Scary.
It's not politically correct.
Life is scary. Life isn't politically correct.
They're children, man.
Well, I want them to grow up to be adults, mine are going to be.
But it's harsh. I don't want them to grow up like that. Well, they ain't going to grow up if they're dead.
You know, there's two sides to that story. And I got to reflect back to the Hindu Kush Mountains in Afghanistan. I know we're running out of time.
We're good.
My team's up in the very northern region of Hindu Kush Mountains, and right on the border of Pakistan. And there is a madrasa up there. It's a school for Islamic children. Well, Al-Qaeda, no, it was the Taliban, the Hikmatyar Gulbuddin group. They were both fighting over this area, but the madrasa was sponsored by Saudi Arabia. Long story short.
Gotta love those Saudis, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, long story short, it was a cover that they would take and train all these young people in all these weapon skills, much like what happened in New Mexico over there. The imams that were running it were hardline Taliban weapons instructors, teaching small unit tactics and everything to these kids and teaching them how to be suicidal bomb carriers. The kids that were a little goofy and weren't really cutting it, they went across to Pakistan and had bombs actually implanted in their abdominal cavities. And then sent back across the border before they were getting infected and sick. They would go to a special forces aid state, medical facilities with non-governmental organizations, self-detonating. It happened to us in Assadabad. A lot of people can't imagine that's going on. Who would ever do that to children? Well, it's already here in America, folks. It's all over Michigan. It's here in Texas. You got to pay attention. Everybody needs to pay attention to what's going on with their kids. And listen to the kids, because they might tip on a story. Now, that was a madrasa, and the guy was training his little children out there how to be bad people. A lot of Americans are also teaching their kids how to be responsible weapons owners and go out to the range and be good Americans. Not teaching them to go out and kill people. They're teaching them how to use those weapons in a defensive posture. So you look at both sides of the story. You got the good, the bad. I think it's better to follow a code of honor.
I want to make a comment about something. I did a class not too long ago, and I made a comment to one of my students. You're thinking too safely.
You're
thinking too much safety. And that individual started laughing. I can't believe my instructor passed safety. I by no means said bypass safety. I said you're thinking too much safety. Because the individual had a mindset, shooting a piece of paper, standing still with no threat upon them, trying to get the same hole, shooting a bullet through the same hole every time. That is not the way it works. So when you are in a self-defense mode, using the safety factors that you would use doing marksmanship is totally different when it comes to self-defense. There are certain things you do for safety, obviously, but if you're fanatical about your safety, you have already stepped behind the curve and you're wasting time. Valuable time that you have to save, and there are certain safety factors that might not be good for the situation.
I know we're running out of short.
We're good. Don't worry about it.
Okay, I'm thinking there are four key weapons that we haven't talked about. And parents, you need to instill this in your children. They are leadership, teamwork, communications, and a commitment. Follow through. And my last words is to the chest.
Okay. All right. Very good. Mark, Trey, let me stay on the air here. I want to go over a few other things. Mark, it's always fantastic to have you on. Ladies and gentlemen, just prep your kids. I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to happen somewhere. It may even happen in our backyards. Don't freak out. Just accomplish the mission. And the mission is do the best you can and get out of it the best way possible. And God forbid something happens, we're going to fix it. But until then, just do the best you can. Now, I want to reiterate to all my sponsors, I can't thank you enough for sponsoring the program. We have slots available for new sponsors. If you like this show, spread the word. Tell people who have businesses that it might be a great opportunity to sponsor some segments on the show. It's a circle of life. You sponsor the show, we put on a good show, people listen, they go back to you, and everybody wins. I can't do it without you. And the listeners, you can participate by liking us on Facebook, subscribing to the YouTube channel, following us on Instagram, calling up the station for pertinent questions regarding the show. Just regarding the show and its content, okay? That helps out a lot. Or coming to the functions that we may put on, or coming to the shop. All these different things are things you can do, and spreading the word can help sponsor the program and keep it on the air. The next class, my next license to carry class, I believe, if I don't forget this, is going to be August or September 8th, I think, which is Saturday, 2 o'clock. I'll be having it posted on my website soon. Check that out. Also, if you have five or more people and you want to do a special seminar for advanced training, you can sign up or give me a call and we'll get you squared away in that respect. Also, next Friday is Ladies' Night. And Trey, what is it?
If you identify as female,
you may shoot for free. Range time is free. Okay, so you don't have to put on a skirt,
this is,
I guess.
San Francisco. Texas.
Biggest states, maybe. I don't care. If you identify as a female, you can. Ladies' Night, Friday the night. First Friday is two for a night. Bring a friend. The friend gets to shoot for free. And second Fridays of the month is round robin competition. You'll learn a lot. Definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram. Like us on Facebook. Come to the shop Friday nights. Do some shooting. Shooting the bull and shooting some rounds. And you'll have a lot of fun. Okay? Mark, you got anything else? Mrs. Master Cindy Key out of Rockdale, Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. She wasn't able to be with us today. I'm going to have to preempt her. And I'll tell you what, Trey, we're kind of ahead of the curve here. Let's find me some great music. I'll tell you what, let's go back to the opener for Mark. Play that out. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, keep your powder dry. God bless.